Welcome to the Generally Spooky Podcast. I'm on a bit of an iron brew kick at the moment. I think it's because I'm tired all the time.
Because here we are for episode four.
Yes, episode four.
Episode four. We're almost halfway through the season.
I know. It's gone so fast. I don't even know how this happened.
I don't understand. How, Wendy?
I don't know. I have no answers. I don't know how we got here. It's been like a blur. Because so much has been coming out.
Yes.
If you're not on Patreon, you should be, because we're posting two or three times a week.
Yes, there's a lot of content going up on Patreon.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a lot.
Very busy.
But there's two super awesome mini episodes up there now.
Mm-hmm.
And by mini episodes, they're both over 40 minutes long.
They're just not full episodes.
Yeah, which is as long as the Fairy Coffins episode was, which is kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are mini episodes. So you want to hear about the Witch Hunt? No, the Wild Hunt. Or the Maillet Brisé. You said over to Patreon.
Yeah, we got lots of good stuff over there. You would love it. We love it. It's just, it's a lot of work, you know?
You're like, yeah, this will totally be a good idea. I'm like, yeah, that will be a good idea. And now we're doing it. We're like, oh, we overestimated ourselves.
I know. We're definitely stretched thin. I don't care, though. It's so much fun.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoying it. And there's now 10 amazingly fantastic and awesome people over on Patreon.
I know. Can't believe that.
Thank you, everybody who's there.
Can't believe that.
You know who you are. We appreciate you.
So I think we're going to start doing Q&As of some form.
Yes.
That was one of our goals. If we reach 10, we were going to start doing Q&As. But I don't really know what form that'll take. So if you're interested in Q&As with us, join Patreon. Mm. That's where it'll happen.
And if we reach 10,000, we're getting a second dog, apparently.
No, apparently. You agreed.
I did agree.
Say apparently as if I made it up. We talked about it and you agreed.
Mm-hmm.
That was reasonable. So when we reach 10,000 patrons on Patreon, Kieran has agreed that we will get another dog.
Yep. I'm safe for now.
I mean, we have 10.
That's the first number.
Exactly. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode.
Yes.
All about the Tay Bridge.
Yes.
Such an interesting story.
Yeah,
very
really
sad
interesting
story.
Mm-hmm. It's luckily not quite as stormy here anymore. There's sun outside.
I know. The weather has been bizarre here over the past couple of weeks. It has been wild. We only had part of a fence pull down, though. We're fine.
Yeah. Largely fine.
We had to cut our trip down to Stirling short, which was a shame.
Yes, because there was Storm Eunice came in and snowed on everything. Yeah. We're like, we're just going to go home the night before and avoid all that.
Yeah.
Which was a fantastically good decision.
Yeah, the weather warning was due to start at about 3 a.m. and we got home at about 1.
Yeah.
Just missed all of the disasters on the A9. It was the best decision that we could have made.
Yeah, it was a good call. It was a good call.
If you follow us on Instagram, you'll have seen some of our photos from Stirling, but you will also have met Rob.
Mm.
He's our new mascot. Expect to see a lot more of him because I love him.
Yep, our little kilted bear.
Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
He is. One of the family now.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you got yourself some tea after last week's episode.
Yes. That was the first time we talked about it, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. The Bird and Blend tea.
Mm-hmm.
Which I realised of everywhere I said the link would be, I didn't say it would be in the description of the podcast.
Oh.
And I don't know why, but I can say it now. It's in the description of the podcast on your podcast player.
They've been so good to us. We're an affiliate of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you buy some of their really, really nice tea using our link, then we get a commission and it helps support the podcast.
Yeah.
They've just released their strawberry and Nutella pancake tea.
Bold.
That has no nuts in it, so it's allergy good. Safe or nut allergy safe.
Mm.
But yeah, it would mean a lot if you would support them and support us. You can use our link and get yourself some really nice tea.
I had some nice carrot cake tea of theirs last night.
You enjoy that one?
I do like that one. I love carrot cake
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the chocolate digestive tea is still my favorite, even though we've tried like a bunch of ones that they've sent us.
What you like.
It's good.
Mm-hmm.
The Bonfire Toffee one is nice.
That one was very tasty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I tried the Terry's tea one, which tastes like chocolate orange.
Yeah.
That was very unusual.
And it does.
Right?
It really does. It's the weirdest thing.
So yeah, treat yourself to some tea from Bird and Blend and support the podcast.
Yes. Link in the description.
Yes. We also have merch.
Oh, yeah.
We have merch.
Oh, it's all go. It's all go.
I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast yet.
I don't remember. I don't know.
No idea, but we have merch. Over on generallyspooky.com.
Yeah, you can get yourself a Generally Spooky t-shirt mm-hmm. or hoodie.
We have t-shirts, we have hoodies, we have mugs oh, that yeah. you can drink your Bird and Blend tea out of.
Yep.
I just put up a small collection of stickers.
Which are very cool.
Which we're just sort of trialing to see if people like them. Mm-hmm. They're over there just now. So yeah.
It's all going on. It's so exciting. All happening at Generally Spooky HQ.
That's why we're tired. That's why I need Iron Brew.
Why we're so tired all of the time. Well,
I only have one other small order of business before we actually get into the story.
Another order of business?
Mm-hmm. It's a fun one.
Okay.
This episode will be going up early on Patreon.
Yep.
On the 25th of February.
Yep.
Which is also my sister's 21st birthday.
Yes, it is.
India turns 21 on the 25th.
Much excitement.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Hit the table with my chair. Got too excited. Yes, it's India's birthday. So if you want to embarrass her greatly, comment everywhere wishing her happy birthday.
Yep. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. I just want to wish her a happy birthday in a public forum that she can't do anything about. We embarrassed her at dinner last night. It was very funny.
It was excellent.
I bought her a giant birthday card.
Giant birthday card.
That has the Disney princesses on it, and it had a baby picture of her dressed as a Disney princess on it.
Superb.
Because she was obsessed with Disney princesses, and she's going to Disney for her birthday.
So got her to open that in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. It was excellent.
Mm-hmm. And then the people working there brought over the cake and they sang really loud. It was great. Loved it. Loved everything about it.
Yep.
So yeah, happy birthday, India. We love you.
Happy birthday. You're okay, I guess.
That was my last thing.
Excellent. Well, what do we have today? Oh, well, we'll have some music. Not the happy birthday music.
Happy birthday, happy birthday.
Yep, we'll like have a peep show. Our music. What do we have today?
Today, this episode's caused me some problems because it's been difficult to fit everything in and fit everything in a way that makes sense.
Mm.
And this is partly because we're talking about two places today.
Two places?
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a bumper episode, but also kind of not.
Interesting.
Today, we're talking about Roslyn Castle and Roslyn Chapel.
Interesting. I have not heard of either of these places.
Well, I was wondering, I'm sure you've heard about one before, but you've probably forgotten.
I mean, as previous episodes will tell you, this is not surprising.
But I think you, Kieran, are going to really like this episode.
Well, that's good.
Because some of the history and theories we're going to be getting into are very interesting and right up your street.
Mm.
But we're not just talking about history and ghost stories today.
What else is there?
We are also getting into conspiracy theories.
Oh, well, that's quite exciting.
Mm-hmm. For, I think, is the first time.
We've
not really done conspiracy before.
No. Ooh, that's exciting. I am not a conspiracy theorist, as I'm sure you won't be surprised to hear.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to be surprised by that.
No.
We have a ham sandwich t-shirt in the merch shop, inspired by you.
Yeah. I'm wearing it right now.
He is. He's not just baring his nipples.
No.
That was the ham sandwich t-shirt.
It's very comfortable. But I do love hearing a conspiracy theory, because they're so ridiculous.
Some of them are.
Yeah, and they just make me laugh. How exciting.
Well, you're going to really like this conspiracy theory because we're going to be talking about the Knights Templar.
Ooh. And baby Kieran is excited.
Well, exactly. I feel like there are a lot of kids who really get into the Knights Templar when they find out what they are.
Yeah.
And I believe that was you.
That was me. I read a good, is a historical fiction about the Templars. A good historical fiction about the Templars and stuff, which is generally very interesting. No idea what it was called or who it was by, naturally.
Helpful.
But, yeah, I just remember learning that they... I said that they were a thing, that they could have been a thing. It was very exciting.
Well, we're going to talk about them today.
Maybe I am a conspiracy theorist.
And don't worry if you haven't heard of them before, because I'm going to explain what they are and everything later.
Well, that's good. What if we start one of these episodes and you go, you, Kieran, are not going to enjoy this?
I mean, I could have done that with the Sonny Bean episode, to be fair.
Oh, that's true.
You had a bad time that day.
Yeah, I did enjoy it, I guess.
You got very angry.
I did get very angry. Oh, fucking Samuel Johnson. I read someone who was promoting his biography saying it was great. I'm like, no!
No, it is not. I refuse.
Shan't. Oh, but I did look it up and he is in a Blackadder episode. So there you go.
We finally know.
Continue.
Well, we're going to start with Roslyn Castle. The history and everything related to the castle. And then we're going to talk about the chapel after.
Sounds good.
So that's how the episode is going to go. Mainly because the castle was built first.
I mean, that's fair.
It's a bit older than the chapel. And they're both built just outside a small village called Roslyn.
I am shocked.
Which makes sense. Roslyn's just outside Edinburgh. Okay. It's about 10 miles outside of Edinburgh. And part of the reason that the castle was built there is because it's in a really good strategic spot mm-hmm. for defence. It's surrounded on almost all sides by the River Esk.
Okay.
And if you know anything about battle strategy, which I study endlessly, you know that, it's harder to capture a castle that's surrounded by a river and sitting on a hill.
That's pretty good going. That's pretty good going.
So that seems to be why that spot was chosen. And it was chosen in the 1300s by the Sinclair family. And they're a big part of our story today when we're talking about the castle and the chapel. They've owned the castle and been the barons and earls of Roslyn since about 1280.
Damn.
And the current Earl of Roslyn is still a Sinclair today.
That's good work.
So we're chatting about another ancient, powerful family this week.
So there's going to be dozens and dozens of Johns again. And
Well, I haven't gone as deep into sort of the genealogy this week because there was too much other information to include.
Well, that's good.
I couldn't do everything. There are a couple of different spellings of the family name Sinclair, which I think comes from there being different branches of the same family. So in some places they spell it S-I-N-C-L-A-I-R, mm-hmm. Sinclair, which is the more traditionally Scottish spelling.
Yep.
But another branch is Saint Clair.
Oh.
S-T and then C-L-A-I-R. And I think this comes from the fact that the family originally came from France.
Okay.
Which, that is a more French spelling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick with, I've written Saint Clair in all my notes because that's what the family go by today. So if they're still around and they're going by Saint Clair.
That makes sense. It's not a Madame Bouquet situation.
No, is it? I don't think so. There's a couple of the early figures that I'm going to say Sinclair for because that's what their names were registered as. But I am mindful that there are two different spellings. Because some people get very into this stuff, and I don't want to make people angry.
I do.
You don't remember names.
That makes people very angry.
The spelling doesn't matter. You don't remember what they are anyway.
I've got my name. That's plenty. That's because it's on a bracelet on my wrist.
Because I embroider it into every t-shirt you own. Write it in your pants.
Mm.
Well, the first story that I found concerning Roslyn as a whole happened in 1303. And this was before the castle was actually built.
Okay.
And in 1303, there was the Battle of Roslyn. Now, this was part of the first war for Scottish independence.
Oh.
So think William Wallace, Bannockburn, Robert the Bruce, a major part of Scottish history.
Yep, feeling very patriotic all of a sudden.
It's a part I'm dying to talk about it on the podcast, but I'm a little intimidated.
Fair.
To tackle it because it's so big. It may end up being a series to itself. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I got really excited when I saw that Roslyn played a part
mm-hmm.
in the Scottish independence wars. But then as I was doing my research, I got super bogged down in all of the details that there are and all of the famous figures that are involved in the battle. And I basically decided there's too much to include in this episode. So what I've done is I've made the Battle of Roslyn its own mini episode so I can get into it. So that will be up on Patreon if you want to know all of the details.
I like that. Sounds good.
Check that out. For the sake of this episode, here's what you need to know about the Battle of Roslyn. It was a clash between Scottish and English forces.
Mm-hmm.
And Scottish troops basically managed to defeat a reconnaissance troop of English soldiers. They were scouting out Scotland on the orders of King Edward,
mm-hmm.
Hammer of the Scots. We've talked about him before. Basically preparing for war. A truce had ended between the two countries and he wanted to invade. So this was one of the troops that went out ahead to suss out where to attack and where they could go.
Sounds good.
The Scots attacked the troop at night, basically to stop the English from getting any further into Scotland.
Oh.
And this was at Roslyn. And there were some important names in the battle, especially on the Scottish side, major figures from the Wars of Independence. They were close to the kings and all that good stuff. But one thing that I find quite funny, through all the research I did, the battle is often talked about as if it was a clash of two armies
mm-hmm.
that happened at Roslyn. So it was a huge battle, huge numbers. But that wasn't really the case.
Mm.
The numbers were a lot smaller because it was a reconnaissance troop.
That's what I thought. Eh?
Still like, significant.
Yeah, it's important.
It represented Scottish resistance to an English invasion, mm-hmm. but the story has been greatly exaggerated over time, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's a very Scottish trait.
I was about to say, that sounds appropriate.
And we've talked about that before.
Yeah. I caught a fish that was this big.
But if you're interested in knowing sort of more of the nitty-gritty of the Battle of Roslyn, it will be a mini-episode up on Patreon. I couldn't fit it all in. It was too long.
Too long.
Too long.
Too much extra.
Roslyn Castle itself was built later in the 1300s. I don't have an exact date, but it was after 1303.
Okay.
And it was built by a man called Henry Sinclair. It seems, from what I could find, Henry wasn't born until around 1345.
Okay.
And the castle was built after that. He built the castle.
With his own two hands.
Probably not.
Probably not.
He's an important man with lots of money. Probably not. But I think it would be sometime after 1345, since he's the one who ordered it to be built. And he was an important figure for a few reasons. He was part of an important Scottish family, the Sinclairs. They had a lot of land in different places, a lot of influence.
Mm-hmm.
But on his mother's side, he was related to the Jarls of Orkney.
Oh, that's fun.
Now, you might be thinking, Jarl, that doesn't sound very Scottish. Well, it isn't.
Mm.
At this time, Orkney was ruled by Norway. Orkney and Shetland, they both were. They sort of made up an area of territory that was owned by Norway.
Mm.
And Henry's grandfather, on his mother's side, was the Jarl of Orkney. He had pledged fealty to the Norwegian king.
Very cool. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I saw, I can't remember what I was looking up, but not long ago, it was the 500th anniversary of when Orkney and Shetland became part of the UK.
Mm. We're going to talk a bit about that in a while.
Wonder where I saw it. Don't know.
It's interesting, though. It's interesting to think of somewhere like that not being part of Scotland.
Yeah.
Since they're such a big part of Scotland's history, mm-hmm. it's strange thinking of them being Norwegian.
Yeah, especially Orkney, because it's not so far away. Shetland's far away. It's way up there. But
I'd love to go to both.
Mm-hmm.
Henry went on to become the Earl of Orkney, which I think is the same position. It's just the anglicised name.
Makes sense.
But he didn't just inherit it. That's not how the Norwegian system worked at the time. King Hakon, which is Haakon, I might be saying that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He chose who he wanted to take on the position based on who he thought would do it best.
Interesting.
Which I think is such a good system when it works.
Yeah, it's a better system than just inheritance, I think.
It can cause more conflict, but I think if it means the best person gets the job,
yeah,
then it's worth it.
It's what you want. But like you said, if it works, it's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
The best person for the job doing the job.
In theory, I love it.
Yeah.
Now, Henry was up for the title of Earl of Orkney, but so were two of his cousins. He wasn't the only one in the running. Initially, the title was given to his cousin, Alexander. But for some reason, he did so bad of a job that he resigned his titles. And then the Earl of Orkney was given to Henry.
Oof.
I couldn't find what Alexander did or didn't do. But you have to imagine it's something pretty terrible. If he either chose to give up the earldom or had to.
Yeah, it's not great.
No.
Hmm.
But I have no idea what he did that meant the Norwegian king was so mad.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. What could he have done?
I don't know. He did something that annoyed him.
Yeah.
Anyway, Henry was made the Earl of Orkney on the 2nd of August, 1379.
Excellent.
So he had the land around Roslyn on his father's side.
Mm-hmm.
And then power in Orkney based on his mother's lineage.
Very nice.
So that's where the two came from. To get the title, he had to travel over to Norway and have the king formally make him Earl. But one of the things that he also had to do, along with paying quite a lot of money, he had to bring people with him that would be left as hostages with the Norwegian king.
What?
Mm-hmm. And he did it.
Oh my days. Who? What? The system's breaking down.
Well, I'm guessing it must be some kind of insurance policy.
Yes.
To make sure that Henry would do what King Haakon wanted.
Yeah, so he doesn't just take it and then fuck the king.
Yeah. Ooh. But you have to imagine that it's people that he didn't want to be killed. So it's people that he liked or like people from the families of his supporters and things like that.
Yeah. Oh no.
It's a bit of a rough deal.
It is quite a rough deal. I wonder what sort of situation they were kept in.
I imagine reasonably well.
I think so. I don't imagine them being imprisoned.
No, but not allowed to come home.
Yeah.
The only positive out of that whole situation was that when King Haakon died, he left instruction that the hostages were to be allowed to return home.
Oh, that's good.
Because his agreement was over.
Uh-huh.
And King Haakon died a year after Henry became Earl.
Oh, that's an even better deal.
Yeah, so they were only away a year, but it struck me as very unfair.
Yeah. It's really weird. Yeah. I've never heard of anything like that. Not anything so willing.
Mm-hmm. You have to leave these people here and you have to pay me money.
Yeah. I see. I think the paying him money is like, oh, I'm choosing who's best suited. I said, well, are you sure you're not just going to choose who's richest?
Who can pay me? There's also no proof that Henry ever paid the money.
Oh, interesting.
I think
didn't get a receipt.
1,000 crowns or nobles. I can't remember what the currency was. So we know how much he was supposed to pay, but there's no proof that he actually paid the money.
Interesting. I suppose what proof would there be from 700 years ago?
I mean, there's quite a lot of written records. We know how much he was supposed to.
Well, that's true. And we check box paid. Check.
Invoice received. Henry apparently died in the early 1400s. But the dates are a bit iffy. I've seen everything from 1400 to 1412.
Mm.
And I think a couple of dates outside that. But it's thought that he was either dead already or he died during an English attack on the Orkney Islands.
Oh, interesting.
The wars for independence were over by this point, but the islands were under Norwegian rule. So my thinking is the English were attacking Norway, not Scotland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the reason I start the episode chatting about Henry isn't just because he had Roslyn Castle built.
Oh.
Henry is also at the centre of his own conspiracy theory.
Oh, a 700-year-old, 650-year-old conspiracy.
We're hitting one right out the gate.
Oh.
Right out the gate.
Hit me.
Some people believe that Henry sailed to North America before Christopher Columbus did.
Oh, well, that's intriguing.
It's not what you expected. No, I can tell by your face. Did you have any ideas what I was going to say?
I thought it was going to be Templar related.
Ah. It is kind of. I'll get into it. But that's the basis of the conspiracy theory, that he reached America or North America before Columbus.
Well,
Columbus reached the Americas in 1492.
Okay.
Which is almost 100 years after Henry died.
So that was quite beaten by quite a lot if he did.
Mm-hmm. And there are people who believe that there's evidence that Henry Sinclair made it there first.
Interesting.
The believers of this theory cite it's a collection of letters, I think, that talk about an Italian voyage to the Americas that seem to include Henry in them.
Hmm.
They think that one of the names in the letters, like, they're talking about this figure, I think it's Prince Zichmni. They think that this name is just a sort of misunderstood translation of Henry Sinclair and of Orkney.
Interesting.
Because some of the letters in Orkney and Henry Sinclair didn't exist in Italian or Latin, whatever they were writing in. So they replaced letters.
Ooh.
And it became Prince Zichmni.
Intriguing.
So there's this figure in these letters. A man called William S. Crooker is a writer, one of many, who have written books about this theory. And he claims that he discovered a castle that was built by Henry Sinclair in Nova Scotia, which he considers proof that Henry sailed there before Columbus.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also a carving in a rock in Massachusetts, which is on the east coast of America, that people allege is of a different explorer, a man called Sir James Gunn, who supposedly sailed with Henry.
Oh.
Although other people suggest that part of the carving in the rock is a carving, it was done by man, but the rest is just the result of glacial movement.
Hmm. It's not as exciting.
No. There's a real monument to the alleged crossing in Nova Scotia. That's real. There is a monument there to Henry Sinclair on his voyage.
I think it's... Is it not fairly well accepted that Columbus wasn't first now?
Or no, well, there were Vikings from Iceland who sailed before Columbus. So it's, I think it's widely accepted he wasn't the first. But it's not widely accepted that Henry Sinclair went before him.
Got you.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
I read that there's a thing called the Prince Henry Sinclair Society of North America. And they believe that he landed at a place called Chedabugdo Bay in Nova Scotia.
Got you. Yep. I've
probably said that wrong. But they say that he landed there in 1398.
Hmm.
And the monument was built to him in 1996.
I wonder why people are so up in arms about it. Because to hear that, I'm like, oh, cool. But I don't feel compelled to go and join a society to fight for the knowledge that he did it first.
Well, there are some details I'm going to get into that might explain some of the zeal.
Okay.
To believe that he did this.
Yeah.
I'm kind of feeding you the information slowly. A man called Richard Coleman, one of the heads of the society, said, quote, he is passionate about the story because he is interested in real history, not phony history, unquote. Which makes me nervous. I get nervous when I hear people crying out for real history, not phony history.
What are we doing?
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And a big pusher of the theory that Henry Sinclair landed in America is a man called Niven Sinclair, who is from America. And he claims that he's a descendant of Henry.
Well, that's fair.
Now, he says, quote, there is so much proof that the voyage happened. Unlike Brian Smith, I've walked in the footsteps of Prince Henry. I've seen tons of documentation and there is absolutely no doubt at all about it.
I wonder if he is a direct descendant. That'd be pretty interesting.
I'm not sure. The only reason I say that he claims he is, or he supposedly is because I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not because I don't believe him. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked into a family tree or anything. That's the only reason I say supposedly. But if it wasn't clear, I don't really believe this theory.
No.
A lot of historians have completely debunked everything about it. Like the letters that are held up as the proof. They seem to be hoaxes that were written hundreds of years after the supposed voyage.
Mm.
Like people just made it up.
It's a weird one. Because to me, I'm like, well, why would he have? If he's got his Jarldom in Orkney and then he's building a castle in Roslyn, he's busy. Why is he going on a dangerous transatlantic voyage to somewhere that may or may not exist?
The Brian Smith that Niven Sinclair mentioned in his quote, Brian Smith said, "The whole thing is complete baloney from beginning to end. It makes me blush that people actually believe any of it. You can't just make up the past." And he's an archivist from the Shetland Islands Council.
Oh.
So he has some knowledge in what he's talking about. Yeah, he says it's complete baloney. He doesn't believe it. Some people have really taken it to the bad place.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion. And they're saying there's a spiritual figure from Native American culture, one of the tribes there. It's a hero called Glooskap. And some people claim that this is actually Henry Sinclair, who they met when he journeyed over there. So they're saying this figure from Native American culture and history is a white guy that they hold up like a lord. It's just kind of taking it to the bad place. You can't claim other people's heritage and culture like that. That's not cool.
Not without any proof.
No.
Oh, I bet it's him. Probably not. Oh, no. Yeah. It makes me cringe.
Yeah. But you mentioned just now that you didn't know why Henry Sinclair would sail.
Yep.
Right? You were confused about his motivation. Mm-hmm. Another part of this theory is that Henry Sinclair sailed to the Americas on behalf of the Knights Templar.
Oh, it circles round.
Yes, some people believe he was a Templar, even though the Order had dissolved by this point.
Uh-huh.
So that was the motivation.
Interesting.
Now, believers of this part of the theory point to a document that was found in a Knights Templar like headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And this document references a voyage to a place called La America. But the Templars were dissolved and broken up in the early 1300s.
Okay.
So this is nearly 100 years after that, that this supposed voyage took place.
Yeah. It seems one of those theories that just some minor checking could prove that's nothing.
Pretty much. It seems like there's an awful lot of proof to show that it's not true.
Yeah.
But it is a theory. It's something that people talk about.
Yeah.
And partly because of that, the Sinclair family have been linked to and connected with the Knights Templar more and more as time's gone on. And a lot more in recent years. A lot more people are talking about the connection between the Sinclairs and the Knights Templar.
Oh.
But we'll get into that later when we talk about the chapel.
Sounds good.
It's just a bit wild for me. I don't believe it.
It seems pretty out there.
I just don't believe it.
It's turning it into like a movie, isn't it?
I appreciate that, you know, some people might listen to this and if they really believe it, they might get angry by that. But to me, there isn't enough evidence. But I'm happy to listen. If people want to try and convince me, I'll listen.
Yeah.
At the moment, I just don't see enough provable evidence.
Yeah. Well, it's just reaching, isn't it?
Kind of. Yeah.
For everything you've mentioned. I've not seen any of these things, but it's like, oh, but if this is this, and then if this is that, then maybe he did. I'm like, well, that's quite a stretch.
The problem for me is that the basis of the theory seems to be these letters, which historians have said these were probably written hundreds of years after as a hoax. So if your entire theory is based upon this evidence that has been debunked, you don't have much.
Yeah, there's nothing left.
Anyway, Henry died, like we said.
Yep.
And then his son Henry died when he was fairly young of influenza.
Mm.
And his grandson, William, became the Baron of Roslyn.
Oh, they're barons.
Yes, yeah. So at the moment, they're the Baron of Roslyn.
Yep.
So we're now talking about Henry's grandson, William.
Yes.
William had a scriptorium built in the castle, which I thought was really cool.
Sounds really cool.
A scriptorium is basically just a place to write manuscripts.
Yeah.
But this was the 1400s, I believe. So manuscripts were a big deal. They were expensive. They were valuable.
Yeah.
So he had somewhere built where manuscripts could be written.
Ooh, that's pretty badass.
I want one.
I know, right?
I would quite like to write podcast scripts in a scriptorium.
Yeah, we need to build a scriptorium in the garden, I think. Ooh. Ooh, that's just such a good word.
Right?
I'm just heading to the scriptorium. Do not disturb me.
Mm-hmm. He was very passionate about manuscripts and being a man of learning. There's a legend about him that a fire broke out in the castle.
Mm.
And the only thing that he thought about was saving the manuscripts that had been written.
I mean, You don't want a room full of paper in a castle that's on fire.
He didn't want to burn. But instead of going in himself, because he was dreadfully important, don't you know, he got his chaplain to go into the scriptorium and lower the manuscripts out of a window to save them.
How noble of him.
I know, he really went above and beyond, didn't he?
Oh, then everyone else was like, oh, I can't believe it. I mean, yes, I just wanted to make sure I saved the manuscripts. Oh my God, you're such a hero. I know, I just couldn't think of anything else. So how did you get them out? I asked the chaplain to go in. Oh, you didn't save them? Oh God, no. No, that's far too dangerous.
You asked the man of God to risk his life.
Not even just a servant, the chaplain. Mm-hmm. Mm. To go into this room full of paper in a burning building.
I know. The reason that William had a chaplain at his disposal is because William is the one who had Roslyn Chapel built.
That is where you'd find a chaplain?
Yes, which I will talk about later. We'll talk about the chapel in a bit.
Did he get a chaplain and then need somewhere to put him?
No, he built the chapel first.
Oh, that's good.
And then employed people to...
chapel around it.
Seems weird to say work there, but preach there?
Don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
William's the one who built Roslyn Chapel. And he was an interesting character, aside from that. He was actually considered to be the next king of Norway when King Christopher died, who had been the previous king of Norway.
That's a pretty big deal.
So he was an important guy.
Yeah.
He didn't get the role, but he was considered for it. And he went on to act as one of the five regents for King James III.
Very cool.
When James III was too young to rule efficiently, because he was a child king.
Yes.
So he was a regent and ruled Scotland for a time. And it was kind of on his watch that Orkney and Shetland came under Scottish rule.
Ooh. Is that good?
Well, it wasn't his fault.
Yeah. Is that bad? Depends who you ask, I suppose.
Depends whose side you're on.
Yeah.
King Christian, who came after King Christopher, I think.
Yep.
He agreed for his daughter, Margaret, to marry King James III.
Okay. Yep.
With me. Mm-hmm. But when it came down to the marriage and the marriage agreement, he didn't actually have the dowry that he had promised to pay as part of the marriage agreement.
Well, that's not so good.
Do you know what a dowry is?
Yes. The money you give when your daughter gets married.
Yeah. He didn't have it.
Mm.
Awkward. So William, who was not only the Baron of Roslyn, he's also the Earl of Orkney, has the power there from the Norwegian king.
Yep.
He had to give up his power in Orkney in exchange for land in Fife.
Okay.
So Orkney and Shetland were kind of put up to show that he was good for the dowry.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry, I've got these couple of sets of islands. I'm good for it.
But yeah, eventually he had to give up his power and title in the islands for, I think it's Ravenscraig in Fife. That's what he was given instead, which was under Scottish rule.
Mm-hmm.
And Orkney and Shetland were brought under Scottish rule. And this was in 1472.
Oh. So it must have been 1972 was the 500th anniversary.
Yes. But I don't know. I could be wrong.
I could be wrong.
That's just what I found.
Maybe it was the 550th, because that'd be this year.
That would be right.
Interesting. I wonder... Who lost Ravenscraig then in Fife? Because if he had some Norwegian owned territory, and the King of Norway was like, "Oh, sorry, I have to give that to Scotland," and the Scottish King was like, "Okay, well, if you don't have that, I'll give you something else." Like someone lost out because there was one extra person in.
Unless that was owned by the crown.
Oh, maybe.
But then remember in this time and generally, the king owns everything.
Well, that's true.
You are a baron of the king.
Yeah.
So he decides.
He can just do what he wants, really.
Kind of, yeah. Like, even though it's your land, you have the title, you have it at the courtesy of the king, I guess. That's a very loose explanation as well. There's a lot more detail, but I don't want to get too into it.
Well, how far away do you end up with it? Oh, well, this person lost that one. I'm like, well, where did they get it? And then it's just... endlessly pulling thread, isn't it?
Well, yeah, William was no longer the Earl of Orkney, but I think he was the Earl of Caithness. So he was doing fine. He was the Baron of Roslyn. He had this land in Fife. He was the Earl of Caithness. Because I think the territory covered Orkney and Shetland, but also a part of the northern mainland of Scotland.
Okay.
So he got to retain that part.
That's pretty good. He's got a scriptorium. He's got everything.
He's fine. He also had 18 children.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a busy
three
man.
Different women.
I'm almost relieved.
18 children.
Oh, good work.
I know. Jeez, so. Later, in the 1500s, Roslyn Castle was attacked by English forces.
Ooh.
Now, this was the time of Henry VIII and an infant Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yes.
This was the time of the rough wooing, which we talked about in our Mary, Queen of Scots episode.
Yep.
But basically, if you haven't listened to that one, which you should, it's an epic, and I put a lot of work into it. Henry VIII got really angry and upset when he found out that the young Mary wouldn't be marrying his son, as was agreed. He got even angrier when he found out that she was going to be marrying into the French royal family, strengthening the bond between the Scots and the French,
yep.
excluding the English, because he wanted to bring Scotland under English rule,
yep.
officially, because, you know, it's kind of inconvenient if Scotland has its own monarchy. He wanted to kind of bring it under his crown.
Yeah.
So marrying his son to Mary would have done that.
Solid plan.
He got very, very upset. And he basically launched a series of attacks from England into Scotland to try and force their hand into marrying Mary to his son.
Yes.
In 1544, Roslyn Castle came under Henry's wrath. Not him in person, but the English. His brother-in-law, a man called the Earl of Hertford. I might be saying that wrong. He led troops to Roslyn, and they almost burned the whole castle to ash.
Oh my.
And this is the same person who basically sacked Edinburgh.
Ooh.
So he wasn't kidding around. Roslyn no. didn't really stand a chance. It was also in the 1500s that the St. Clairs became involved with the Freemasons.
Oh... Conspiracies within conspiracies.
More mystery, more intrigue. William St. Clair, the 15th Baron of Roslyn, was the man in charge during the 1500s.
Okay.
So he was the Baron. He died in 1610. He was a head honcho of the Scottish Freemasons. I don't know what this means, but he was the very first hereditary Grand Master of the Scottish Freemasons. From what I understand, that's like the top dog.
Yeah.
Of the Scottish chapter. I don't know.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. To be at the very top.
Of a secret society.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the last St. Clair that would be Grand Master of the Scottish Freemasons. There were several over like hundreds of years.
Wow.
That they kept cropping up and they continued to be involved with the Freemasons.
Interesting. It's weird because it sounds impressive, but...
I don't know what it means.
Yeah, I don't know what it means. So I'm like, well, maybe it's not. Could be impressive. Could be. Maybe.
I don't know.
Don't know.
Nobody will tell me anything. Now, this William, who was the first Grand Master.
Hereditary Grand Master of the Freemasons.
Him. He added to the castle when it was under his charge. It had been mostly repaired after the attack in 1544.
Yep.
But he also added things like some vaults underneath the castle and a dungeon.
Ooh, very nice. It's no scriptorium, but, you know, very important to a castle.
Is it a castle without a dungeon?
I know. What was it before, really? A walled off house?
I know. A mansion?
Yeah.
But by the 1700s, so 200 years later, the castle was basically a ruin.
Oh.
Unfortunately. It was attacked again during the Civil War by Oliver Cromwell and his men. And it didn't get kept up.
Well, if you're being attacked and you lose, it's going to be quite expensive to repair. And if you just lost a battle, you probably don't have very much money.
Well, from what I saw, the barons of Roslyn weren't living there anymore. It was in the 1700s that the title changed. So they went from being the Barons of Roslyn to the Earls of Roslyn. And the spelling changed.
Interesting.
It went from R-O-S-L-I-N to R-O-S-S-L-Y-N.
Okay.
And they became Earls, not Barons. So before, the Baron had been getting his... I say his because they were all men. power from the King of Scotland.
Yep.
The Earl of Rosslyn got his power from the House of Lords and the English throne.
Oh.
So it was something different, but they had the same area.
Interesting.
So the Earls of Rosslyn weren't living there anymore. They had land in other places.
Yep.
So moved south. So they didn't really care about the castle anymore.
Ah.
From what I can see. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
So yeah, it was left to ruin.
Yeah. It's always a shame. Mm-hmm. When it stood for like 400 years at mm-hmm. that point. To just leave it. But if you're not using it, and it's very expensive and doesn't make any money, you're not overly eager to do it up, are you? Yeah.
It's very, very expensive to restore somewhere like that. Flash forward to the 1980s. So we're in more recent times.
All the way forwards.
Yes, all the way forwards. Because it's a ruin, so there weren't many more historical events of note happening there.
That does make sense.
Because nobody was living there. In the 80s, work started to restore parts of the castle.
Wow.
To make parts of it livable again. And now you can actually go and stay at Rosslyn Castle. It's like a holiday let.
Oh.
You can go stay there overnight. But I think it's just parts of the castle because big parts of it are still ruins.
That makes sense. Ooh, that'd be cool.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Stay in part of a ruined castle.
What? Scale House and this place we can go and stay at as part of the Generally Spooky Tour?
Desperate to go and stay at Scale House. I want to do it. The current owner of the castle is the seventh Earl of Rosslyn.
Yep, the seventh Earl, yeah.
Because the title changed.
Yep.
And he's a man called Peter St. Clair Erskine.
Hmm, well, Erskine.
Yeah, they married into the Erskine family and they've adopted the double barrel surname.
Fair play.
He's Eton educated.
Naturally.
As you would expect. And
it's a private school in England where all the toffs go, if you're not familiar.
Just about every like Tory prime minister in history has gone to Eton.
Yep. A boy. Is it an all-boys school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Mm.
But he used to be a chief inspector for the Metropolitan Police.
That's pretty cool.
In London. And he was actually the man in charge of the police department that protects the royal family.
Oh, wow.
Big job.
That is a big job. Fair play. Fair play.
He did pretty well. Apparently he was referred to as the Queen's favourite policeman.
Oh. I mean, that'd be pretty nifty, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? But he was investigated, him and the whole department, investigated in 2003 because a man called Aaron Barshak gatecrashed Prince William's 21st birthday party.
Ooh.
At Windsor.
Oh no.
Dressed as Osama bin Laden in a dress.
Who's he? Is he just some random?
Well, he's a comedian.
Oh.
But I've seen him either referred to or referring to himself as a like comedy terrorist. So he just kind of charged in.
That's very bizarre.
Now, to be clear, they didn't think that the Peter guy, the Earl, had anything to do with it. But everything was investigated because they had to figure out how on earth this man had gotten in.
Yeah.
And it was really bad. It wasn't like a subtle mistake that was kind of brushed under the rug. He actually got up on stage when Prince William was giving a speech and interrupted him in front of everyone.
Oh,
so
no.
He got in properly.
Oh, no. I wonder if he just walked in. Kind of like, because there was a person when Obama was president in America who charged him with a knife. And he just walked in the front door and got like partway through the house before he was stopped.
Well, I think part of this was he managed to convince security working the event and the location that he was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
He basically talked them round and they let him in. So he said something that was suitably convincing.
How can you not trust someone dressed as Osama bin Laden wearing a dress?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be here. I don't know.
So I'm supposed to be here. Well, where else are you supposed to be? You haven't got the wrong address.
That's the thing that really happened.
That's bizarre.
It's not strictly related, but I wanted to tell it.
That's more bizarre than Earl Henry going to America. I don't even know what to. Don't even know what to think about.
There's not really much you can say. It's just a really weird thing that happened.
That's bizarre.
Later, Peter, the Earl of Rosslyn, became the head of Prince Charles and Camilla's household at Clarence House. So he was like in charge of all the staff uh-huh. that work in the building and the estate. So he did okay after the investigation. He was still trusted and well liked.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter starred in a really cringy Hallmark movie.
Oh no.
It was an American made for TV movie about Prince William and Kate Middleton, and she played Kate Middleton Ooh. In the film.
That's a bit weird.
It's very cringy. That's a bit cringy. It's been widely panned.
Yeah. Oh no.
I thought it was funny that she went into acting but was still linked to the royal family.
Yeah.
When her dad has all these ties.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Ooh. Cringe.
So that's largely the history of the castle.
Wow.
But like almost every castle in Scotland, it has its own collection of ghost stories.
Mm.
But none of them are particularly fleshed out, which was frustrating for me.
Mm.
So I'm just going to report to you what people have said they've seen at the castle.
Sounds good. Time for some spooking.
Yes, ghosties. So some people have reported seeing a white lady roaming the castle ruins. And they claim that she's a Sinclair ancestor who was put under a spell.
Oh.
This is something I've never heard before. It will sound mental. But the story goes, she was bewitched into a magical sleep and is waiting for a knight to rescue her from the curse.
Oh.
And whoever manages it will be blessed with untold riches.
She's Sleeping Beauty.
Pretty much. But also a ghost. But also not.
Yeah.
You know, the normal kind.
Yeah. Pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's different.
I've never heard that before. Never heard of something like that before.
Do you think, as we don't have knights, so to speak, anymore, but people can get knighted, like anyone could do it? Like Lenny Henry could do it?
See, in my mind, I think it's about your heart.
Ah, heart of a lion.
What's inside?
Aww.
If you're brave.
That's beautiful.
And pure of heart, great things will happen.
Not if the queen's tapped you with a sword on the shoulder.
No.
That's fair, that's fair.
But that could be wrong. I don't
Maybe.
Know. Maybe. Maybe you do have to be knighted.
Mmm, official. And she's there being like, oh, are you my knight? Like, yes, I am. It's like, well, where's your certificate? Do you get a certificate?
I have no idea. You get a medal, I think.
Oh, that makes sense. Like something, would you ever have to prove you've been knighted?
Yeah, I think you get a medal. You get like an OBE or something.
That makes sense. Like,
pin one.
Yeah.
People have also talked about encountering the ghost of a black knight.
Oh.
Around the castle. So maybe she's waiting for him.
Maybe. Maybe they keep missing each other.
Yeah. Maybe she's only around in the daytime. He's only around at nighttime. Now, creepily, these encounters with the black knight have happened while people have just been driving near the castle.
That's pretty
striking. Driving around it. They're in their car and they see a knight riding on horseback near the castle.
Ooh.
And apparently it seems like he's completely unaware of his surroundings, like at least the more modern ones. He doesn't interact with them, doesn't notice they're there. He's just riding near the castle.
Ooh.
And some people claim that he was one of the casualties of the Battle of Roslyn in 1303.
Ah.
Because there were a lot of knights in the Scottish force that were part of the battle.
I like that. That's a good spooking. Was it one of the Reddit ghost stories about a guy who saw a knight, I think? He was, or someone riding horseback, he was walking down an alley between two villages. I'm sure we've talked about that in an episode.
I'm not sure, maybe.
Rings a bell.
I don't remember.
I was just imagining how terrifying it would be to see anyone on horseback at night time.
Mm-hmm.
Since they're normally very high-vis during the day. If you happen to meet someone on horseback, see someone dressed in black on a black horse at night, that'd be awful.
Well, I imagine it very intimidating, you know, because if it's a knight, their armour on, they're usually quite big. And for some reason, when I imagine the encounter in my head, he's walking the horse quite slowly. Like, he's not rushing anywhere. Mm. He's just, like, patrolling, like, walking.
Yeah.
So driving past that, be very creepy.
It would be very creepy.
Like coming up behind mm-hmm. and just seeing them ahead of you.
Wouldn't be nice.
No.
Yeah, you're very slow. Just like clip, clop,
clip, clop. Yeah, like that. Clip, clop. That's what I imagine.
I think that would be more frightening than if they were charging.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least if they were charging, you wouldn't have time to think kind of thing and they'd be gone.
Basically, you're coming upon them. Like, who is this person? Yeah. What are they doing?
Oh, no.
The last ghost story I found is also related to the Battle of Roslyn.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have talked about hearing the barks and the howls of a phantom dog in the grounds of the castle and the chapel.
That would be terrifying. Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a legend associated with this ghost dog.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the Battle of Roslyn again, like I said. A Scotsman and an Englishman are in hand-to-hand combat, both fighting for their lives.
When does the Irishman come in?
I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to. Now, it's the middle of the night. All you can see is the glint of some armour. There's cries of soldiers around you as people are dying. Eventually, the Scotsman managed to overpower the Englishman and killed him.
Ooh.
So he won. But the Scot didn't realise that the English soldier had taken his dog into battle with him.
Oh, shit.
This big, big dog. And upon seeing that his owner had died, the dog leapt at the Scot and violently attacked him.
Oh, man.
So the Scot had no choice but to kill the dog before it killed him. The Scottish soldiers retired to Roslyn Castle after they'd won the battle. That's where they were stationed. They finally had some time to rest, but they didn't get any. Because that's when the soldiers started complaining of hearing barking and howling from around the castle, from a dog that they couldn't find.
Ooh.
And before long, the soldiers started seeing a vicious, vicious dog in the guard room of the castle. And they were terrified. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't get it to leave. And it was dangerous. Eventually, the Scot who had killed the dog was on watch duty overnight outside the castle. But then the other soldiers heard a terrified scream. And they rushed out and saw the Scot on the ground, just in pieces, scared to death. And he began babbling about seeing this ghostly dog coming for him. And he never recovered. He died 3 days later.
Oh.
And after that, the ghost of the dog was never seen again by anyone. But the sound of the dog howling and barking can still be heard.
That's very spooky.
Isn't it?
I like that. Ooh.
Ghost hound.
Ghost hound. Terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Just a terrifying thought of a dog in frenzy.
Well, imagine being able to hear a dog that's angry, like angry growling, angry snarling, and you can't see them.
It'd be very off-putting.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd be scared.
Absolutely.
You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know if it's going to get you.
And if you have to go and try and search for it, but would you want to find it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Not what I would enjoy.
No.
But that is Roslyn Castle. That's everything that I have put together on Roslyn Castle.
And I believe we were promised a bumper pack.
Yes. Now we're going to get into Roslyn Chapel. And I would argue this is the good bit.
Ooh.
But I'll let you decide by the end. I mentioned it earlier. The chapel was built by William Sinclair in the 1400s. It was built after the castle was built.
Yep.
But they are quite close together.
Yeah, not super far after.
And they're walkable. You can see one from the other. Okay. I think the chapel is further up a hill. Not sure, but they're very close together. And the reason that he had it built was because he thought it was really important for there to be somewhere to have his family like buried, somewhere where funerals could be held for his family, because they were Catholics. And this was built as a Catholic church.
Mm.
So he wanted the church to be built for his future family. And he didn't just pay to build the chapel. Like, this guy had a lot of money. The chapel was built. He funded it. But he also committed money to support the priests and the chapel for years to come.
Oh, wow.
Like, he committed to having it
kept,
which I thought was insane to have that kind of money.
I know, eh? That's cool. I like that.
But the reason that Roslyn Chapel is so popular and so famous is because of its architecture.
Oh.
The features inside the chapel are quite incredible.
Ooh.
It's incredibly detailed, incredibly intricate. And I'm going to show you some photos, but I'll post them on Instagram for if you're listening, so you can also see them.
Odin did not find the photos helpful.
Sit.
No. No barking.
It's because the neighbour dog's barking, yeah. So he has to bark.
Which suggests the postie is here. Now that Odin's contribution is out of the way, and he's been put to his bed while we finish recording this episode.
He barked so loud my desk vibrated. So loud he was barking.
It's just kind of a lot. Maybe he saw a ghost. Maybe he saw Black Knight.
Oh my god.
So you sent me some photos.
I did. I sent you some photos of the inside of the chapel.
And for those listening, at Generally Spooky on Instagram.
Yes, I'll have them posted there too.
Come check them out.
So you can also have a look with us. Because I think, especially with stuff like this, having a visual aid is very helpful.
Yes. Wow.
Right.
Oh my days.
It's so intricate and just vast. The detail is just incredible.
That is something else. And because you sent me them on Facebook, I just scrolled back through all the photos and into a GIF of Sean Bean.
We're not talking about Sean Bean right now.
I mean, when you say like, he paid to build a chapel, this is next level.
It's not what you expect.
Not at all. That is like unreally intense. Geez, oh.
So I'm going to go through a brief history of the chapel, and then we're going to talk about the architecture in a bit more detail, since that's the important thing here, really.
Yeah.
If that suits you.
That suits me fine.
Now, I mentioned that this was built as a Catholic chapel.
Yes.
So the fact that this chapel survived the Scottish Reformation is a big deal. Because that was when Scotland moved to Protestantism from Catholicism.
I was just thinking about that it's very ostentatious. Mm-hmm. I see the Protestants not having time for it.
Mm-hmm. And when the Reformation was taking place, a lot of Catholic churches were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them didn't survive. And this was all happening in the 1500s, from what I remember.
Yes.
Now, the altars at Roslyn Chapel were destroyed and ripped out as part of the Reformation, but the building itself was left largely intact. So it survived.
Do you know why at all?
No, I don't really know why.
Well, I wonder if it's the only one for quite a lot around it, like quite a large area. It was Maybe. The only religious building, so they kept it for their Protestant services and things rather than not having a single one.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
But by the 1800s, Roslyn Chapel was very overgrown.
Oh.
It hadn't been used in a very long time.
Oh, such a shame. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps not.
But it survived. It's a miracle it survived. It was in the 1800s that Queen Victoria visited Roslyn Chapel.
Oh, wow.
And she was really upset with the state that it had been left in.
Yeah.
That it was unusable. It was overgrown outside, just was such a beautiful building.
Yeah.
And not being used. So she was basically the one that ordered the chapel be brought back into a usable state because she wanted people to be able to worship there. But it was to be reopened as a Presbyterian church, so a Protestant church.
Okay.
Not a Catholic church anymore. Yeah. And that's what happened. The chapel was reopened in 1861. And people began worshipping there again.
Wow. That's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
So it is usable, mm-hmm. and you can visit it today when it's open. We'll get into that. In the 1900s, Roslyn Chapel was used by the suffragette movement as a site of a bomb attack.
Oh. I thought it was going to be a meeting point, our headquarters.
No.
Mm.
If you don't know, from 1913 to 1914, the suffragettes detonated several bombs in significant sites across the country as part of their effort to get women's suffrage, which is the right to vote. And we talked about this a little bit in our Stone of Destiny episode.
Yes.
Because they also did this at Westminster Abbey.
Mm.
And this bomb going off cracked the Stone of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So we have talked about this before.
Yep.
And churches were a particular target for the suffragettes in this like bomb plot because they believed the Church of England was complicit in denying women the vote.
Fair, I suppose. Yeah.
I don't struggle to believe it.
No.
It's one of those weird, we're going to deny you these liberties and these rights to protect you.
Yeah. Makes me wrinkle my nose.
Yeah. Not good. It's not good look on anybody.
Not good.
That's a very brief history of Roslyn Chapel.
Yes. Thinking it's like an author like Ryan Holiday. He sent out an email newsletter about some of the books that were being banned in schools near him in Texas. I can't remember what one got banned recently. But he's making an effort to hand out all these banned books for free and let everyone who wants one have a copy to read it. And I just thought the way he put it was quite good. It's like, oh yeah, it's because the people in charge of the schools are scared of children reading. Like, they're scared that a child can go into a library and read what they want. So that's similar things. Oh yeah, they're scared women are going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you break it down, it just highlights how ridiculous it is.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I bought as a copy of Mouse,
yes,
by Art Spiegelman,
yep,
after it was banned by
a school.
It was like a school district or something in the US. They banned it because it talks about the Holocaust, which I think is ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, oh no, it'll scare the children.
It's what happened.
Well, yeah. They should be scared.
It happened. It's part of history. You can't pick and choose.
Yeah. And their fear will help it make sure it never happens again.
And it's part of the same argument where they're just banning teaching critical race theory in schools, yeah, which is also wrong.
I think that might be in Texas.
It's in a lot of places. Mm. It's just ridiculous.
Awful. Anyway.
There are an insane amount of carvings inside Roslyn Chapel, which you can see from the pictures.
Yeah.
That everything is carved and sculpted and it's very beautiful. And we don't actually know what all of the carvings and symbols mean.
Oh.
There aren't written records from the stonemasons, you know, the craftsmen who did a lot of it.
Yeah.
They didn't write it down. So some of them we know, some of them we don't.
Ooh, conspiracy theory.
You're just going to make one up?
Yeah.
I haven't even finished with all of my conspiracy theories. You're going to start a new one.
I'm going to start a new one. Well, I can't remember when the first Sinclair was Grand High Master. I've already forgot what it was. In charge of the Freemasons. But maybe because the Freemasons were thought to be stonemasons back when. So maybe he hired them all to do this super intricate thing. And they were like, thanks, bud. Come join us. Have a position near the top. That's how he came into it. And maybe it's full of hidden Freemason stuff.
Some of what you said is kind of accurate. Some of it is not.
I mean, that's the perfect, grounds for a conspiracy theory.
Because the chapel was built before the St. Clairs were related to the Freemasons.
By quite a lot.
This came before.
Hmm.
I think by like a couple hundred years.
That is quite a lot.
I can't remember. It might just be like 100. I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember my own dates. That's really bad.
It's not like 20 years though.
No. It's considerably after, yep, I believe. But I probably have that wrong and someone's going to get mad because people get very angry about Freemasonry and I don't know why.
Yeah.
But we don't know what all the symbols mean.
Yes.
Basically. But there are what are supposedly lots of Masonic symbols and carvings in Roslyn Chapel. So you aren't wrong, but the dates don't necessarily line up. Because the William who had the chapel built wasn't the same William who was the Grand Master of the Masons.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. But maybe this was the foot in the door.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But
we don't need to know. It's a conspiracy theory. You just say things. You just say it with conviction.
You're gonna enjoy the rest of the episode that I have for you. You're gonna have a good time.
So let the secret knuckle rubbing continue.
Knuckle rubbing.
It's thought to be the Mason handshake.
Oh, I was like, what? Well, we're not going to talk about the Freemasons quite yet. We're just looking at the carvings. So some of the carvings we know the meanings of. One that I really like is an inscription that's, I think it's in one of the arches. And it's in Latin, but when it's translated, it means wine is strong, a king is stronger, women are stronger still, but truth conquers all.
Nice.
And I love it.
I like that a lot.
I absolutely love it.
I like that.
Another design that appears over and over again inside Roslyn is the Green Man.
Oh.
Now, do you know anything about the Green Man?
I do not. Another Green Giant.
That's different. That's sweet corn. The Green Man's a symbolic figure that basically represents nature and growth.
Okay.
Rebirth, spring, the cycle of life and death. That's what he represents. And carvings of him are usually of a man's face and as sometimes surrounded by or interwoven with leaves and vines.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often they're like coming out of his mouth.
Hmm.
And they're pretty common. But what's interesting is that it appears a lot inside Roslyn, which was created as a place of Catholic worship.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a pagan symbol.
Yeah.
He's a pagan figure.
That's interesting.
But there's quite a few Green Man carvings inside the chapel.
Huh. I like that.
I guess it's that thing where it's easier to move to Christianity if there are links to what you already believe.
Yeah. I wonder if, because they had to fill up so much with carvings, they had to start just choosing ones.
Maybe.
Like somewhat at random. I'll throw some Green Men in there. He takes up some good space. Or just this one. No, I'm really good at the Green Man, though. Like, I really like it. Yeah. Can we do a few of them? Like, I'm sick of doing the little compass thing for the Freemasons.
One of the theories about why there are so many different carvings at Roslyn is that a lot of the stonemasons who did the work were travelling masons.
Oh, yeah.
So they travelled round and did work wherever they found it.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's lots of travelling masons doing the work,
it would make it less cohesive a theme. Yeah.
Or just you'd have lots of different influences.
Yeah, I like that.
Different people bring their different experiences to the chapel.
It's a lot more interesting if there's much more variation.
Yeah, I think so. I actually have a photo that I took up in the woods behind the house. I don't know if you remember. It's that the big tree fell down.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a photo of the exposed roots.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like there was a Green Man in it. There was like a face in the middle of the root.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
If I find it, I'll post it on Instagram.
Yeah.
It was very cool. It was quite creepy.
Very cool.
I quite enjoyed it.
Sounds like Tom Bombadil from Lord of the Rings.
A little bit, yeah.
The Green Man.
A little bit.
Mm.
Now, there are also over 200 cubes carved into the ceiling of the chapel. If you look in the last picture I sent you,
mm-hmm.
you can see some of the cubes in the arches.
Yes.
Can you see them?
I can see them.
Yes.
Very cool.
Now, these are believed to be an encoded piece of music.
Oh, that's fun.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
I'll try my best to explain. It's a little tricky, but I will have a video linked in the show notes.
Okay.
That explains what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So if you're listening to this and I make no sense, you can watch the video and it will make sense. Now, these cubes, they're all carved into the arches of the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
and they all have patterns carved into them, like into the cubes. Some of them have the same pattern on them, some of them don't, and they seem to be in an order across the ceiling. A man called Stuart Mitchell and his father, Thomas Mitchell, figured out that the patterns on the cubes look similar to the kinds of patterns you get in cymatics. Now, I didn't know what cymatics were either, so I will explain. Cymatics is basically the visual representation of sound, of music. It turns out every musical note has its own frequency,
mm-hmm.
has its own pattern. And you can reveal this pattern by getting a sheet of metal, covering it in a layer of sand or salt,
mm-hmm.
something fine with grains, and then applying the specific frequency of that note to the sheet of metal.
Very cool.
Which makes it vibrate, and the vibrations cause the grains of sand to form a specific pattern. Now, I'll show you what some of these patterns look like here, and I'll send them to you.
That's very cool.
It's amazing. It's even more amazing when you see it.
Familiar. I feel like I might have come across that before.
I mean, it's a physics thing.
Yeah.
It's physics in action.
Physics in action. I have a physics degree.
Bum, bum, bum.
For those who didn't know.
Yeah, he's not just a fan.
No one's just a fan of
he's
physics.
He's a scholar. Right, I'm going to send you the result of doing that experiment that I just described.
Ooh.
Can you see?
Yeah.
So I'll share the same photo that I've just showed to Kieran, but each one of those squares has a different pattern, and it's because a different note has been applied to each one.
That's very cool. So these patterns were on the...
Well, basically, before we get, it was a scientist called Ernst Chladni who discovered that you could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And he created vibrating plates to reveal what these patterns were.
Mm.
And they're called Chladni plates, and these are called Chladni patterns.
Very nice.
Stuart and Thomas Mitchell figured out that the patterns on the cubes in Roslyn matched the Chladni patterns.
Wow.
So theorized that each cube represented a note.
Yep.
Because it matched.
Oh.
And altogether, when you took all of the cubes, it represented a piece of music.
Wow.
And they wrote the piece of music. It's called the Roslyn Motet. They've written it.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Oh
my God. Have you heard it?
I've heard part of it. I haven't heard the whole thing. I don't know. It's not very accessible online. I think you have to pay for it.
That's wild.
Isn't it? Isn't that amazing?
That is so amazing.
So it seems like this piece of music was written and then hidden in the designs of the chapel.
Oh my God. I feel I was undersold when you said that, oh yeah, he got this chapel built. I'm like, oh, he did so much more than that.
But what's strange is I'm not sure when the Chladni plates and the Chladni patterns were actually discovered.
Mm.
I feel like it was after the chapel was built.
Ooh.
But they match the patterns, they correspond to notes, and have resulted in a piece of music.
That's weird.
Isn't that incredible? I thought you'd like that with the physics connection.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's what that is. The pictures kind of look like the ink blot tests.
A little bit, yeah. But yeah, just vibrations.
Vibrations, man. It's just like the energy of the world, man.
Another part of the chapel that has its own story and its own legend is called the Apprentice Pillar,
oh,
which I have sent you a photo of. It's like a big twisty pillar.
Yes.
Please consult picture two.
Big twisty pillar, very nice.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Apprentice Pillar. And the story goes that there was a master stonemason working in the chapel with his apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And they were asked to carve this pillar. And it was to be hugely detailed and very beautiful, which it is.
Absolutely.
But the master mason didn't feel like he was up to the task. So he decided to travel to Italy to get some inspiration and some guidance on how to carve the pillar the way that they wanted it done. So, you know, he left his apprentice to do whatever the fuck he wasn't going to take him. Mm. The master returned from his travels only to find that the young apprentice, who he didn't even consider worthy of taking with him, had not only completed the pillar, but done an amazing job.
Unreal.
Which is the pillar you can see. The finished work was amazing, incredible. He'd done it beautifully, and he'd managed it without even seeing any inspiration pieces. He just had this natural talent. And the Master Mason was completely overcome with rage at his apprentice.
I bet he was.
Rage and jealousy. And he was so angry, according to the legend, he struck his apprentice in the head with a mallet.
Ooh.
Inside the chapel and killed him.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I mean, you think you could just have some chill. Like, if your apprentice does good and succeeds, it looks pretty good on you.
Yeah, you don't have to murder them.
No.
It's a very impressive pillar.
It is. It kind of whines on itself.
Yeah.
Now, the story goes on that the other stonemasons in the community wanted to punish him for what he'd done to his apprentice. So his face was carved opposite the pillar.
Oh.
So he would have to spend eternity looking at his apprentice's amazing work.
Nice.
Now, the pillar really exists. It's really stunning. But there isn't any proof of the murder or the story of the apprentice. Mm. But the pillar is known as the Apprentice Pillar.
Very cool. It's truly stunning. I have no idea how that gets done.
Mm-mm.
None at all. Like, when I see something carved similarly in wood, I can vaguely understand how it could be done.
I feel like wood is more forgiving.
Yeah, not that I could do it. I'm not saying that. But I'm like, okay, I can see how, with enough practice and things. But with stone, I'm like, how do you even begin?
And the detail's so fine.
Yeah.
It's quite incredible.
It's just so absolute.
And especially when you take that in the context of the whole building, everything looks like that.
Mental.
And naturally, there are also ghost stories associated with Roslyn Chapel.
Before that, how long did it take to build, do you know?
I have no idea.
Must have been a long time. I have
no idea how long it took.
A long ass time.
Mm-hmm.
To then have the chaplain just nip in to get your scripts, manuscripts.
As I was saying, there are ghost stories associated with Rosalind. There was an acting troupe who were rehearsing in the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
They reported hearing the voice of a child from somewhere inside the chapel as they were leaving for the night. But when they searched for them to make sure that they didn't lock the child in the chapel overnight, there was no one there.
Always spooky. Always spooky.
They just heard the voice.
Yeah.
But this same acting troupe also reported seeing fairies. Fairies in the grounds of the chapel.
Interesting. I believe them less about the child now.
So make of that what you will.
Yeah.
Another common ghost sighting around the chapel is that of a monk.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, it makes sense.
It's fitting.
Quite a lot of people have seen him, which creeps me out.
Mm-hmm.
People have seen him praying inside the chapel itself. Other people have seen him just wandering around the grounds in a brown, I think it's a cassock, like robes they wear, with a big hood. They just see him walking about. And I'm not sure if that's in the daytime or not, but that would make it so much scarier.
Oh,
seeing
yeah.
something like that in the daytime.
Absolutely.
I would hate all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Workmen who were renovating the chapel in 2010, so not that long ago, they were working in the chapel overnight, and they all felt quite a lot of the time like they were being watched while they were in there. They never really felt easy or like by themselves.
Yeah.
But one of them talked about working on some steps inside the chapel, and he turned round because he had that feeling and he felt really uneasy, and he saw a monk standing over him watching him work.
Spooky.
And he shat himself.
You
and
would?
It was after seeing all of that and feeling that way, the workmen refused to stay in the chapel or work overnight anymore.
Wow.
They didn't want to do it.
Didn't want to do it.
Not strictly ghostly, but when they were doing this work, they also found a secret like room in the chapel.
Very cool.
That no one knew was there. It's up sort of in the ceiling, and they found it while they were repairing stuff. They stumbled into this room and they found beehives.
Oh.
So people had used that room in the chapel to look after bees.
Wow.
And the bees had been sent off to experts to try and find out like what species they are. The empty hives were still there and everything.
That's funny, because you could use honey to make mead.
Oh, true. Yeah, that was quite common,
wasn't
it?
And that was something that monks tended to do as like for a living.
Huh. Yeah, I not ghostly, but...
Very cool, though.
It's a secret room, so it's cool.
I like that a lot.
But if you know anything about Rosalind Chapel already, and you're listening to us chat this episode, what I'm about to get into is probably what you're here for. So you're going to need to hold on to your butt, Kieran.
Prime spooking.
Hold on to your butt, because we're going to the conspiracy place.
Oh.
We were leaving Ghost Town and going to Conspiracy Avenue.
A left down Conspiracy Avenue.
Are you ready?
Yes, I think so. I think I'm ready.
Rosalind Chapel is speculated to be the resting place of the Holy Grail.
I wasn't ready.
The Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail.
And the St. Clairs are supposedly connected to the Knights Templar and even to the Grail itself.
Well, there you go.
That's why most people are interested in Rosalind Chapel.
Huh. Sell it to me. Sell it to me. Okay. What have we got?
Well, it's a theory that's been propagated and kind of put around since about the 1980s, from what I could see. The Holy Grail part, anyway.
Is that when the Indiana Jones came out, about the Holy Grail?
That was the late, early 80s, maybe.
That'd be really funny. If that came out, then everyone, oh, it must be in here.
Don't know. Can't confirm. Yeah. That would be funny. I mentioned earlier in the episode when we were talking about Henry Sinclair, that he supposedly sailed to North America before Columbus.
Yes.
And he was supposedly doing it for the Knights Templar.
Yep.
You remember?
Mm-hmm.
Well, inside Rosalind Chapel, there are carvings that some people believe are of things like corn, like the maize plant, corn, and aloe vera, which are plants that didn't exist in the UK when the chapel was built.
Okay, okay.
So believers of the theory about Henry take the carvings as proof that Henry did visit the Americas, and he took the knowledge back with him.
Yep.
And then and then William Sinclair, his grandson,
mm-hmm.
had them carved into the chapel because he knew they existed.
Very nice. Very nice.
However, other experts have said that these carvings don't show corn or aloe at all.
I would say it might just not be that, but...
They say they're wheat and strawberries. So there's this connection, but this voyage seems to be where the connection between the Sinclairs and the Knights Templar begins.
Yep.
And they're an ancient society that doesn't exist anymore and didn't exist when the chapel was built.
Okay.
So I'm going to explain a little bit about what the Knights Templar are.
Please do.
For if you don't know.
I only sort of know, so.
Well, they were a Catholic order that was initially created to protect Christian pilgrims who wanted to journey to the Holy Land, which was an area of territory in the Middle East.
Yep.
It's a sacred place for a lot of different religions, from mm-hmm. what I understand. But this time, like the early 1100s, it was really dangerous for Christian pilgrims to travel through this part of the world because they were usually traveling with a lot of money, which made them targets for thieves.
Ah.
They'd be attacked and killed like in their hundreds. It was mm-hmm. really dangerous. It was just slaughter on the routes that you would take to get to the Holy Land.
Yeah.
Hence the need for knights.
Yep.
To protect them. And that was why they started. They started just, I think it was 9 knights. But eventually the power and the lure of the Knights Templar grew and they became an attractive option for young men who wanted to make something of themselves. Mm. As well as an attractive option for wealthy families who wanted to support their Christian faith. Because the Knights Templar were created to act as protection for Christian pilgrims.
Very cool.
So they would protect them on the road to the Holy Land. Oh. But over the course of time, as they became more powerful, they were given a lot of powers that others didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had to give up a lot. So there was a bit of balance.
Yeah.
They didn't have to pay taxes. They had pretty much free movement across any borders
mm-hmm.
that they wanted. They were given headquarters in a palace on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem.
Very cool.
Which was considered a holy place. But it was also a captured mosque that had been taken by the Christians.
Yeah.
You know, a bit iffy. The knights didn't have to adhere to local law, since eventually their authority was granted to them by the Pope.
Yes.
So it was understood that they subscribed to a higher law.
Mm-hmm.
They were carrying out God's work, so they didn't have to abide by human law.
Dangerous. Yeah, I'm with you. It's getting sketch.
But the flip side was they were dependent on donations from others to survive
mm-hmm.
because they took oaths to live in poverty.
Got you. Yep.
So they restricted a lot of what they owned, what they could have, mm-hmm. what they could use. They always ate in silence. They were only allowed to eat meat 3 times a week.
Oh.
And they could never touch a woman.
Mm.
They couldn't even hug like their mum.
Oh.
Because it applied to women in their family. They couldn't physically touch a woman.
Jeez, that's pretty tough.
You're not allowed to hug your mum.
Mm.
What they wore was also really important to them, which is probably something that you know. They wore a very distinct white mantle over any armour they had on. They had a big red cross on.
Yes, yeah, that's what I had in my head. I was going to ask if that was right.
So you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, the white, I think that just represented traditional things. The white usually represents its purity and mm-hmm. faith. But the cross was important, the red cross, because that represented martyrdom.
Mm.
The knights believed that dying in battle was the greatest honour. Dying for the cause of faith was the greatest honour, and it would secure their place in heaven.
Very nice.
And their reputation in battle was fearsome because they weren't allowed to surrender.
That's... If you're not allowed to surrender and the greatest glory is dying in battle, you're going to go out fighting, aren't mm-hmm. you?
There were some circumstances. If the Templar flag fell in battle, then they would be allowed to surrender.
Mm.
But part of their oath committed them that if they were captured or if they surrendered, they had to immediately regroup and form some kind of counterattack.
Oh.
So they had to be the first to try and break out of wherever they were, fight back.
Very nice.
You know,
yeah,
they had to. That was mm-hmm. part of the oath that they took.
It's a pretty intense oath.
Mm-hmm. Very intense.
Yeah.
The life of a Templar was very intense. And they had that reputation of intensity and commitment to faith
mm-hmm.
and power. They mm-hmm. had a lot of power. But one of those interesting things about the Templars, to me, is that they were arguably the first multinational corporation.
Oh, yeah.
And created one of the world's first banks, which I never knew.
Oh, well,
Confused.
I feel confused.
Well, they created a safer way for Christians to make the pilgrimage, since their job was to protect them. They came up with a way for Christians to make it to the Holy Land without carrying all of their valuables with them.
Interesting.
So if you wanted to go on pilgrimage, you could visit your local Templar. Because by the time they had this system in operation, there were Templar members all over the world.
Yes.
I think like 90% of the Templars weren't they weren't their military force.
Yep.
They were just other members. So if you wanted to go on pilgrimage, you could go to your local Templar and you give them your valuables. And they'd be, you know, okay, fine. This will finance your stay in the Holy Land. So you give me your valuables, I'll give you this little slip, which states how much you've given me, what everything's worth. You take this with you, and when you reach the Holy Land, you give it to the Templars there, and they will give you an amount equal to that.
Ah, that is a bank.
Because you put that in,
yeah,
and you can take it out in a different location.
Oh, shit. You don't hear much about the Templars' clerical division.
No. But they were a big part of it.
It's not as grand, is it?
They were a big part of it. And they weren't all in the Holy Land. They were all over Europe. So you could visit your local Templar, and there were enough of them that giving them the money in England would mean that you were able to get that money back in Jerusalem.
That's bizarre.
So it was an early bank.
Yeah.
And this was between 1100 and 1300.
Wow. That's bizarre.
Isn't it?
Absolutely bizarre.
I know that hearing about the first kind of bank is, on the face of it, doesn't sound very interesting. But I thought it was.
I think that's interesting. It won't be the title of the episode, though.
No. World's first bank.
Roslyn Castle. I've forgotten the word now. What was the church called?
Chapel.
Chapel. Castle, chapel, and bank.
I thought it was interesting. And it shows how much influence and power the Templars had.
Yeah, absolutely.
They had thousands of members all through Europe that they were able to function that way.
Mm.
And they were given donations from a huge number of people. They weren't allowed individually to own any wealth, but the Templars as a society had a lot of power and a lot of wealth. Because as their reputation grew, people wanted to join because they thought it was part of showing how faithful to God they were. They wanted to join the Templar cause, and the crusades were happening in there, so going on crusade was a big thing for young men of important families. They owned huge estates, huge amounts of land. They could sustain themselves, that they owned vineyards and farms.
Jeez, oh.
They had a strong military presence, and they didn't have to adhere to local law anywhere. So they were a law to themselves. They owned Cyprus.
Oh, wow.
The island of Cyprus, they owned it.
It's not bad for an organisation that are sworn to poverty.
But it's all...
I can see why the system broke down.
It's all for the cause.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But it didn't last long.
Nope.
In the 1300s, the crusades that were being fought over the Holy Land, like I said, they weren't going in the Christians' favour anymore. Mm. The Muslim people were taking back a lot of territory. They had some really strong leaders at this time, so we're winning more battles, more conflict, and taking land back from the Christians who had taken it. Since the Christian pilgrims couldn't visit the Holy Land anymore, the need for the Templars kind of dwindled.
Yeah.
They had no one to protect, so fewer people at home were supporting the Templar cause. They weren't donating anymore. So the Templars kind of pulled out of there and came back to Europe.
Yeah.
Where they had all of their money and all of their land, and they didn't have to listen to local law because that still applied.
And someone went, wait, what are you doing apart from just cracking around as a tyrant with a law unto themselves?
Well, they weren't, from what I could see, they weren't tyrannical with their power.
Well,
they
good.
Wanted to form their own state.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a monastic state, so it was going to be like a state of faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they wanted to do. But a lot of the rulers in Europe didn't like that. And one of them was King Philip IV, who was king of France.
Okay.
He was in debt to the Knights Templar and he couldn't pay the money back. So what he decided to do was he accused the Templars of being hedonistic and hating God. And he accused them of things like spitting on the cross and being gay and being corrupt rather than paying back his debt.
It's just a shame.
The warrant that he released for the arrest of the French Templar, because he's not in charge of all of Europe, he can only arrest the Templars who are in France. The warrant for them said, "God is not pleased. We have enemies of the faith in the kingdom." After everything they'd done.
I know. Oh, that's just terrible, isn't it?
And unfortunately, that led to many of the Templars being arrested and tortured for information and to give confessions. And many of them were executed.
Absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. In 1307, the Pope of the time caved to pressure from King Philip, and he ordered that all the monarchs across Europe had to arrest the Templars. But the important part of this order was not only to arrest the Templars, but the monarchs had to seize all of their assets, which is the important part.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
So all of the wealth and all of the power and all of the land came under royal ownership.
Oh, isn't that useful?
The only monarch that refused the order was King Denis I of Portugal.
Oh.
He offered them a sanctuary, so those who survived journeyed to Portugal and set up an order called the Order of Christ, which was like a new version of the Knights Templar, because the Templars had been dissolved.
Yeah.
They didn't exist anymore. And this was in the early 1300s that this happened. So how does this relate to Roslyn Chapel?
We got quite out there, didn't we? Are you going to bring it back?
I'm going to try. This was all very confusing. It's taken me a long time to get the script together.
Well, it was a good, solid Templar history. I liked it. I appreciated it.
In a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Many people believe that the Templars didn't really disappear and that they never really stopped. A lot of people think that they carried on in secret and are still an active society today. This is where the conspiracy alternative history kind of comes in. Because the Templars disappeared so abruptly, people don't think it's possible that they just stopped.
Yeah. I don't think they're still going today.
I don't either, really. No.
They might have kept going for a bit. But
well, I mean, they reformed and they just became something different. But they didn't continue as they were on like their holy quest. Which, when I get into more about the Holy Grail, you'll understand why people think that.
Yep.
If you look around Roslyn Chapel, there are supposedly lots of symbols carved into the building that are related to the Templar. Even though the order had dissolved about 150 years before the chapel was built.
Okay.
Because that was in the 1300s. The chapel was built in the 1400s.
Yep.
One of these symbols that represented the Templar is the symbol of two knights riding the same horse.
Okay.
Which was supposed to show the poverty that they lived in.
Oh, okay. Yep.
They shared horses. They didn't have enough. And you can find this symbol in the chapel. In the past 30 or 40 years or so, from recent history, more and more people have developed and talked about the theory that the Sinclairs were closely linked with the Knights Templar and have been hiding the Holy Grail at Roslyn Chapel. It's confirmed that they had links with Freemasonry.
Yep.
Because they did.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I can't really figure it out, but for some reason, this kind of feeds into the theory that they're Knights Templar.
Oh, but they were Freemasons.
And so they have the Holy Grail, and I can't make the link clear, and I can't explain the link.
Maybe there isn't one.
But that is cited as a reason that they're in the Knights Templar, because they were in the Freemasons.
Yeah, but the Earth's flat, though.
I'm sure some people think they're the same. I don't know. I couldn't make sense of it, and I don't want to just make it up, so
I appreciate that.
I'm just saying people put the two together, but I don't see the link.
Sounds fine.
Now, if you don't know, the Holy Grail is a legendary, mythical artifact, and over the course of history, it's had lots of different purposes and different stories attached to it. To begin with, it featured in the legends of King Arthur, and it was protected by a man who was called the Fisher King, or the Wounded King. Now, apparently, the story went with him that he had an injury, I think it was like in his groin or his thigh, which meant he couldn't stand up.
Oh.
So he spent his time in a fishing boat fishing. protecting the Holy Grail.
Very nice.
And the Holy Grail in these stories would give the drinker eternal life.
Yes.
Or more wealth than you know what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in the 1300s, the Holy Grail legend changed. So people started telling the story of the Holy Grail as the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper.
Okay, yep.
And then this cup was used to catch his blood when he was crucified.
Got you.
So it changed over time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the modern day, some people believe that the Knights Templar were charged with protecting the Holy Grail. That was their real purpose.
Mm.
And because the Knights Templar and the Sinclairs were linked, they hid the Holy Grail at Roslyn Chapel.
I think they're reaching.
Do you understand it?
Yes. I understand
the narrative I'm giving makes sense.
It makes sense, but it doesn't make sense that people would believe this.
That's fine, yeah. As long as you understand the theory.
Yes.
Now, even further than this, some people take it even further. A popular theory is that the Holy Grail isn't a physical object at all. It's not a cup.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the bloodline of Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Which seems to come from a translation of the name of the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in French, or like Old French. It's pronounced as Sangreal, which can also be read as Sangreal.
Oh.
Which translates to royal blood.
Interesting.
So some people think the translation translates to royal blood, meaning the blood of Christ, who had children, so wasn't a divine figure, and has a bloodline.
Interesting.
And that he had children with Mary Magdalene.
Okay.
That's a theory.
Yep.
It's all a bit loopy, I know.
Why not?
I know.
Just throw it out there.
I know. There's apparently a hidden crypt in the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And this singular part I do believe in.
Could be.
There's
a hidden B room.
Well, there's some evidence that historically people believe there was a crypt.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that some of the Sinclair ancestors were buried there, but it's never been found. And in the late 1800s, one of the earls died, and his wish upon his death was to be buried in that crypt with his family.
Okay. Yeah.
But they couldn't find it.
Ooh.
I think it was like bricked up to be like hidden. And they couldn't find it again.
Interesting.
So he had that in his wishes. That's where he wanted to be buried. Which does suggest to me that it existed sometime.
Yeah, there was a real thing.
So the hidden crypt could be real. But people say that this is where the Grail is. This is where all the secrets of the Templars are hidden. Another theory even suggests that the original crown jewels of Scotland are hidden in this hidden crypt. I don't know why that gets thrown in.
If you're hiding stuff, let's hide everything in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bit of a reach.
Well, I couldn't find a lot of evidence, unfortunately.
No.
Without reading a lot of conspiracy theory books, because loads of books have been written.
Yeah,
but it's like the 80s and the 90s that this really started to pick up. It's recent,
which is bizarre.
And a big part of it is because the Da Vinci Code was released in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
The movie came out in 2006, and Dan Brown writes about this theory.
Oh, is that where they go at the end of the movie?
Mm-hmm. Do you remember now?
I do remember,
That's how I know you know Roslyn Chapel exists, because we've seen the film.
Interesting.
But in the movie, a big part of it is that they're looking for the Holy Grail.
Mm-hmm.
And, spoilers, but I've kind of already spoiled it. They discover that the Grail isn't a physical object, it's the remains of Mary Magdalene and the knowledge of her descendants and the bloodline. And they go to Roslyn to find it.
I mean, just because someone put it in a fiction book doesn't mean it's true.
It meant that the theory was exposed to a lot of people. And I think a lot of people have taken it as fact.
Yeah.
Which it isn't.
No.
But I think the theory existed independently of Dan Brown. But since the Da Vinci Code, it kind of exploded.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because now a lot of people believe the Knights Templar are defending Mary Magdalene's lineage and the Holy Grail being the blood of Jesus.
I just don't buy it.
From everything I've found, it seems to just be conspiracy.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
A lot of the things that supporters of the theory point to as proof have been debunked by historians and experts.
Anyone who can think for more than 5 seconds.
The man I mentioned earlier, Niven Sinclair,
yep.
who says he's a descendant of Henry Sinclair, which I'm not refuting. He could be. I don't know. That's why I'm saying supposedly claims to be. Don't want anyone to get upset. He fully supports the idea of the Holy Grail being the bloodline of Christ. And he also claims that descendants of Jesus Christ existed within the Sinclair families.
Mm. Oh, he would say that, wouldn't he?
Yeah. That's why I have a bit of issue with that. Well, then, are you saying that about yourself?
Oh, I guess so. I guess that does make me a direct descendant of Christ.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. You know, it was a bit iffy.
It's a bit iffy.
Coming from him in the position he's in, it's a bit iffy.
It's just a bit iffy.
Mm-hmm. And he's released books on the subject with proof. But
proof.
I'm not convinced by it. The chapel, Roslyn Chapel, it's now run and cared for by a trust. And they fully embrace the links that have been made to the Grail in this theory. And they've benefited a great deal from the Da Vinci Code being released.
I was about to say, I mean, it's got to be quite expensive to maintain a church.
Yeah, chapel. Lots more people started visiting.
Yeah.
And I'm interesting to hear what you think of this.
Hit me.
This is one of the things that they've done following the fame after the Da Vinci Code and embracing what seems to be misinformation about the chapel. Since 2008, no one is allowed to take pictures inside the chapel. If you want pictures of the inside of Roslyn Chapel, you have to buy the professional ones that they sell on site.
That's not cool.
You're not allowed to take your own pictures.
Can't take your own pictures? No, that's not cool.
And it started after everyone started going.
Yeah.
After the Da Vinci Code.
That's just a money grab. And that's horrendous.
They were criticised by Louise Yeoman, who's a historian that I've mentioned here before. They were criticised for cashing in on the Da Vinci Code, even though they know it's nonsense.
Yeah. It's just a bit pandering. But then I think some pandering maybe all right.
If it keeps the chapel
Well, that's just it.
Fine. I just don't like you can't take your own pictures.
No, that seems unfair.
You have to buy the ones that they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only bit I disagree with.
Yeah.
Because if people want to believe it and will help look after the chapel by paying to go, you know, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's like Loch Ness. Like, people go there to see Nessie.
Yeah. It's fine.
You know,
it's
I don't really mind if you believe it or you don't, but you're coming to the area, you're contributing to the economy, you're supporting small business, hopefully, if you come visit. You know, that I have no problem with, but just not being able to take your own pictures.
I know, that's a step too far for me. Because you could even, like, have your little information card plaque things saying that some people think this. You could even have it as part of, like a children's interactive thing. You have to go and find it.
Yeah.
But and that's fair, because it's something that people do believe, and it is linked there.
It's part of the history now.
Yeah.
You can't really get away from it.
No.
But for me, the only reason I can think that they would implement a policy like this is if that amount of people were coming to try and decode the chapel and were being disrespectful. So, like, damaging things, getting too close to certain points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that was veering into the disrespectful. So they decided to stop everyone.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't happen anymore. That's the only reason I can think that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Rather than the money grab.
Well, that can vaguely justify it, but I don't think it fully justifies it.
No, but I could understand that, because there's some, you know, like, galleries and things, you can't use flash.
Well, I was thinking that, yeah.
It degrades the art. Similar to this, but people are, like, touching carvings and
climbing
on stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm.
A visitor centre was opened at the chapel in 2011, because they did a whole lot of work. They redid the outside of the ceiling. It was renovated. And Tom Hanks actually donated to help the visitor centre be built.
Oh, that's fun.
Because he was in the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. But that is the very confusing and kind of stripped back story of Roslyn Castle and Roslyn Chapel.
That was a lot. That was super interesting.
When I tell you that this has barely scratched the surface, I mean it. There is so much out there.
Yeah.
But I struggle with it, because I struggle with things I can't prove.
We don't want to just perpetuate myth. Well,
see, I believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
And not everyone believes in ghosts, but I just... I don't know. There was a lot of the conspiracy stuff that I just saw and just I, like, you can't prove that.
Yeah.
So I can't.
Well, I suppose with ghosts, they can neither be proved nor disproved.
Yeah.
But something like the connection to Templars, I feel you can prove and or disprove because it's concrete.
Yeah.
Or stonemasonry, if you will.
It's very confusing. Yeah. A lot of it's very confusing.
That was good, though.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I know I did.
I worry that I haven't explained things properly and I haven't included enough.
No, I like that.
Because I don't want it to seem rushed or bare.
I liked how far-reaching it was.
It really was. We've never really done anything like this before.
I feel like that was a much wider episode than the starts of the seasons have been.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose the Tay Bridge episode took us to China. But
yes, briefly. But this is like Knights Templar and Crusades. Yeah.
I didn't go to America.
It's a whole chapter of history that we've never looked into before. No. And it's interesting for me because I never really knew much about the Knights Templar.
No, I didn't either.
I know an awful lot more now.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the supposed link.
Very nice.
Links to Holy Grail and Templar, Freemasons.
Those are the very tenuous links.
If you're a Freemason and you feel like just telling me everything about what you do, get in touch.
Please do, please do.
Because I'm confused. I don't know what a Grandmaster is.
No.
I don't know.
No. Don't know. I'm neither a Freemason.
Yeah, Kieran's not.
Nor a Templar.
But would you tell people if you were?
Ooh. Maybe if I was a Freemason. Not if I was a Templar. But then would you just lie and say, like, oh, I'd totally tell people if I was. They don't even know that I am. Me.
Odin's a Freemason.
Yeah, he's got the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the handshakes.
Well, I'm super interested to hear what people think who listen to this episode.
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear where people land. Because if you do believe it, I'd love to hear what pushes it into fact for you. Like, I want to know.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot I just don't understand, and mm-hmm. I feel like if I understood it, maybe it would change my mind.
I would listen to a case, you know? If someone was making their arguments, I would listen. I'm not just sitting behind my desk going, change my mind.
No.
When I don't want my mind changed.
There's just a lot I didn't understand.
Yeah.
But I would be interested to hear someone's opinion
mm-hmm.
who is completely convinced.
It was all a little bit like the Ancient Aliens
kind of
show on TV where they say aliens are responsible for building all sorts of ancient structures and things. And it's basically just like, oh, how did they do this? We're not going to check. We're just going to say it was aliens. I'm like, well, you could just check. I'm like, no, we're not going to, though. Because it was aliens. It was the Templars. Well, you could see if it was the Templars. Ah, that ruins it. We're just going to say it's the Templars.
I feel like part of the problem for me is that I don't necessarily believe that Jesus was a divine being anyway.
Mm.
He was a real person.
Absolutely.
And I would even be willing to believe he was a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not debating that. And he did a lot of good, but I don't necessarily believe he was divine anyway. So mm-hmm. for me, he had children. Well, probably.
Maybe, yeah. He could have.
It makes sense. So that sounds plausible, but then you get into the Templars still existing and a whole hidden lineage, and I don't know if I believe it.
Well, a 2,000-year-old lineage, it just doesn't make any sense. It would be so diluted, it would be pointless. It's just a nothing.
So yeah, basically, let me know what you think if you're listening.
Yes.
I really want to know.
You can get in touch with Ailey on Instagram.
Yes.
That's the easiest place.
Yeah, I'm there all the time.
Well, there we go.
Thank you for listening, if you've made it this far.
Thank you very much.
It was rambling and confusing and all over the place.
I know I enjoyed it. If you want to hear more about the Battle of Roslyn,
find us on Patreon.
Come on,
that
Patreon.
Is where the mini episode will be.
It's on, I think it's patreon.com/GenerallySpooky. Or if you just,
I think so. I don't know though.
Google Generally Spooky Patreon, it comes up.
There's also a link to the Patreon from our website.
And in the description again. Why do I keep making it so difficult?
I know.
Just look in the description. I write the descriptions. I know what's there. Please find us on Patreon.
It's so difficult. They don't need to be.
Yeah, that's me.
We will speak to you next week.
We will indeed. Bye.
Bye.